News, laws, and regulations are changing by the day. We get it. And at ADP, we're here to help guide you with up-to-the-minute compliance expertise so you can pay your people accurately and on time, regardless of what each new day may bring. Learn more at ADP.com.
Here's your money briefing for Wednesday, November 11th. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. During the pandemic, many families have fled cities around the country and headed to the suburbs, looking for privacy and more room. But the race for space is driving up rents in those communities.
And there are some situations where rent increases on new leases are going to be double-digit percentages more than they were a year ago. If you're living in a house, you're not going to see that same rate of increase. But those companies are asking their tenants to pay more to stay in their homes.
Our reporter Ryan Dezember joins us to discuss who's profiting from this trend and who could be impacted. That's coming up after the break.
News, laws, and regulations are changing by the day. We get it. It's hard to stay on top of it all. That's why ADP is here to guide you with up-to-the-minute compliance expertise to help you navigate these complex times so you can pay your people accurately and on time, regardless of changes in legislation. When you rely on us for payroll and HR, you're trusting us to help you take care of your people. It's what we've been doing for over 70 years, and that's not about to change. ADP, HR talent, time, benefits, and payroll, informed by data and designed for people.
City life in the U.S. has been upended by the pandemic, and that's driving renewed demand for homes in the suburbs. Our reporter Ryan Dezember has been looking into how that's playing out, and he joins me now. Ryan, thanks for making the time to discuss.
Thank you for having me.
So first of all, there are a few corporations that are kind of, you know, mega landlords in many suburban areas. They own hundreds of thousands of single-family homes. So what's the story behind these homes, and who's the target renter?
Well, a lot of these houses were bought for pennies on the dollar after the foreclosure crisis by these companies. Since then, they've bought a lot of houses on the market. They even build new houses. American Homes for Rent has been one of the busiest builders of homes, you know, this year. And they build houses specifically to rent out. The target is basically somebody who would have been looking to buy a house, you know, a generation ago. These are high earning people. They're usually parents. They want space for kids. They want a home office. They want a yard for the pets. And they're typically people in their like late 30s, early 40s, sort of the upper end of the millennials. And there's a lot of younger millennials starting families and coming behind them.
We're seeing people leaving cities around the country, but are there certain places where this is happening more?
So these companies own homes primarily in the Sun Belt, around Sun Belt cities. So anywhere from California, around Los Angeles and the Bay Area down into, you know, the desert cities. Las Vegas and Phoenix are big areas for this. The big cities in Texas, Atlanta, Florida, up into the Carolinas. Those are the primary markets. Now, we are seeing rents raise also in middle America, places like Kansas City, Minneapolis, Memphis, Birmingham, Alabama. So it's not totally confined to sort of the Sun Belt states or what some people call the Smile States, which kind of gets you up more also up into Seattle, which is a hot market for these companies.
Demand is high. So what's that doing to rents?
Well, the big companies that own tens of thousands of houses, they're raising rents faster than they ever have in their sort of short history. We're looking at like 7.5% month over month, which doesn't sound like a lot, but it is. Again, that's more than they ever have since people have been since analysts have been tracking what these companies do, and it's much higher than a typical like mom and pop landlord is raising rents right now.
Now, to be clear, we're talking about rental homes and not apartment units, right?
Yeah, we're talking single family homes in the suburbs, pretty big houses. What you would normally think of is an owned home. These are houses that rent from anywhere from say $1,400 a month up to, you know, $2,500 a month. And there are some situations where rent increases on new leases are going to be double-digit percentages more than they were a year ago. If you're living in a house, you're not going to see that same rate of increase. But those companies are asking their tenants to pay more to stay in their homes.
You know, Ryan, this sounds like a story of the haves and have-nots. This is all going on while the broader rental market is on the cusp of triggering a housing crisis.
Yeah, absolutely. These companies, when they went out to buy houses after the foreclosure crisis, they really had a certain tenant in mind, and they went out looking for houses that would suit that tenant. And what they really wanted was parents with children, maybe people who didn't have the means for a down payment to buy a house or weren't planning to stay somewhere long enough to justify buying a house. They wanted these sort of young professionals as a customer. And as the pandemic came out, you know, that those were the people that still were earning, you know, the work from home professionals. Those folks have been able to keep earning. There's a lot of signs that they're spending more on sort of consumer goods and things like that. Meanwhile, people who don't make as much, a lot of people tied to the stalled service economy are, like you said, you know, really struggling to pay rent, or in some cases months in arrears with no real prospect of making up that income. So these companies really were fortunate the way they positioned themselves to capture the sort of the high earning but cash poor millennial generation. And they were sort of available and ready when the pandemic hit and sent those people coming to them a lot sooner than they expected.
You know, you mentioned these are young professionals, and a lot of these younger families in some cases are carrying mountains of student debt. Doesn't that concern the companies behind these homes and even their investors?
Not really, because they make so much money, right? They're generally short the down payment. It's not really the credit or the cash flow. It's the money to buy the down payment. And also, this is a generation of people who went through the housing crash either, you know, early in their sort of adult lives, or in a lot of cases with their, you know, seeing their parents or people they know struggle with underwater homes and foreclosure. And so it's a generation that's taken to home buying a lot slower than previous generations. The pandemic, of course, has kicked up the desire to have more space. A lot of people are thinking about that, and they're going out and renting homes. Another thing to consider is that the supply of available homes is historically low relative to the number of Americans there are, American households. So there's not a lot of supply of homes, and the homes that are being built are generally at the upper end. There's only about 10% of homes these days, new homes are being sold for $200,000 or less. So you're looking at a down payment on a $400,000 or so house. It's really hard for these people to come up with, even if they're making six figures, because of their student loan debt, their car payments, other debts that this generation tends to carry around.
Are these companies concerned that an eventual COVID-19 vaccine might ease the demand for homes outside of cities?
No, I don't think so, because I think what they've had is they've had a lot of demand just pushed forward. And we've seen that in the home buying market as well, with people encouraged by the historically low interest rates. These companies, their stocks were shooting up before, you know, in the last couple of years, as sort of people looked at the demographic situation. A lot of millennials starting families and like entering that phase of their life where they do move to the suburbs. But because of housing market dynamics, a short supply of affordable homes, the lack of a down payment for many of these people, they sort of position themselves to cater that crowd anyway. They still see that crowd coming their way. It may decelerate a little bit because a lot of people this summer, you know, rushed to get out and to get into school systems for their children, to get out of the city apartments, you know, thinking, you know, city life isn't going to be what it was for some time. So they may see some of the demand come down and sort of the frenzy that they're going through now, but the long-term prospects of this business are pretty good. And the big interest on Wall Street, a lot of real estate investment money, billions of dollars, is just flowing into these companies so that they can buy more homes.
All right, that's our reporter, Ryan Dezember. Ryan, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal.